You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. It's 2019, and Pastor Matt delivers a message about growth and how we can kick off the new year the right way. Here's Pastor Matt.
Well, good morning again, everyone. And let me be one of the first to tell you here at church, Happy New Year! It is 2019. I can't believe it already. Who made a New Year's resolution this year? Who are the New Year's resolution people? Oh, very few of you. Oh, how interesting. Okay. Well, so much for that joke. I was reading a few New Year's resolutions that made me chuckle. I thought I would share them with you as we started off today. Obviously, this crowd needs inspiration on making a New Year's resolution. All right, I will. Someone said, start washing my hands after I use the restroom. So, good start. Low standards, you know? That's not from anyone here. We all wash our hands, right? I will stop drinking orange juice after I just brushed my teeth. Very, very common sense. I will stop licking frozen flagpoles. I like that there's enough of a problem in this person's life that they had to make this a resolution. I'll go back to school to avoid paying my student loans as the gift of procrastination. Only eat white snow. So that's a pretty good one. You know what's funny about that? If you put snow in a cone, any color is acceptable. But if you eat snow off the ground, white is the only acceptable color of snow. I'll claim all my pets as dependents on my taxes. I wouldn't recommend doing that, but somebody is thinking that's going to help them out. Watch more cute and cuddly kitten videos on YouTube, somebody said. Hey, that doesn't hurt anybody, right? We could all use some more cute and cuddly YouTube videos. Switch my username to password and my password to username to make each a lot harder for hackers to figure out. Good luck with that. And one of my favorites, find a more accurate scale. Because the scale's the problem, right? We all knew it all along. Dumb thing. And a final one, save money for a rainy day, and that way I can shop online instead of having to go to an actual store. And that's what that saying means, save money for a rainy day. Well, if you're going to resolve to do something significant this year, I would say that one of the most profound things you can do is that you can commit to a year of growth with the Lord. And it's on this topic, a year of growth, that I want to talk with you today as we launch into a journey of growth as a church in 2019. This morning, we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be in chapter 4, so you can start turning there in your Bibles if you'd like to. And the title of the message is Small Beginnings, Big Endings, A Journey of Growth. Where we pick up on in Mark 4, 26, Jesus has been preaching a sermon. He was out on a boat at first, and he was preaching a sermon to people. And then he tucks away with his disciples, and he shares some parables and some meanings with them. And he's talking about the kingdom of God. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, a good way to understand what Jesus was getting at is to see the kingdom of God as a literal rule and reign of Jesus Christ in the heart of a person in a way that affects the way they do life. So a literal rule and reign in a person's heart that affects the way that they do life. Now, there's also a time coming when Jesus will rule and reign on this earth. Scripture says that that time is for 1,000 years. It'll be called the millennial reign of Christ. And all people will know him and worship him on the earth. And Jesus acknowledges this time in Scripture as well. But as we talk about the kingdom of God now, we're talking about him reigning in our hearts, which is really an individual thing. And then when we all come together as kingdom-minded people, as the church of the living God, it becomes a corporate thing. So it's both individual, it's both corporate at God's work in the church. It's God's reign among us. And Jesus teaches here in Mark that the kingdom starts small, but it doesn't stay small, it grows big, and it's designed to bless everyone. So why don't we read it together? Look in Mark chapter 4. You can follow in your Bibles. I'm going to read out of the ESV, and you can also look on the screens. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus actually gives us three parables on growth. We're going to look at two parables on growth today, these two we just read, and three principles of growth as we start a year of growth. Would you pray with me as we get going? Lord, thank you for your word, and today I pray that you would in our hearts excite us to grow, that you would let us see the truth of your word. And Lord, no one's more excited for us to grow than you. I pray that that enthusiasm would be contagious and that we would, as a result, want to grow. Help us as we learn the truth of your word. In your name we pray, amen. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, and I hope that you are, you can write as kind of the first big idea, first, that the kingdom starts small. The kingdom starts small. In Mark 4:26, he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So he's talking about little tiny seeds. And then he said in Mark 4:30, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? Then Jesus said, oh, I have an idea. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. In another part of scripture, Jesus is talking about the kingdom, and this is in Luke 17, and he says, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And as I mentioned earlier, there is a literal kingdom reign, both on this earth in the future and present right now in us. And when the kingdom starts, it starts small. That's Jesus's first big idea here. Now, mustard seeds are really small. They're very tiny. And Jesus would be giving an example to everyone there who was in kind of a farming culture and society that they would have understood. If I held a mustard seed up, you wouldn't be able to see it in my hand. So I went ahead and took a picture of one. This is one of Pastor Ray's mustard seeds that he keeps in his office. And I'm not kidding. He has a jar of mustard seeds because that's how holy Pastor Ray is. And look at that hand, though, for a moment. That's my hand. That hand is hideous. I've never seen it up so close. No hand modeling in my future. I looked at that, and that was the first thing I thought. But I'm willing to take the hit to illustrate this to you guys. That's how small a mustard seed is. It's really tiny. And Jesus is saying, look, it's the smallest of all the garden seeds that you deal with. That's how the kingdom starts. It's really small. And, you know, a lot of things start small. In fact, everything pretty much starts small. Jesus started small. He started as a carpenter. The Greek word is tekton for carpenter. It really means stonemason. So when you think of Jesus as a carpenter, don't think of some of the very popular art pictures where like Jesus is in the wood shop and Joseph is his dad and he's got like a little piece of wood and he's like pounding a round, you know, peg into a round hole. It was more stonemason work, because if you go to the Holy Land, there's a lot of rocks everywhere, and so Jesus was tekton, he was a stonemason, but he started small in a small profession before he became a great preacher and teacher, before he became the savior of our souls. He started in a small town of Galilee. You know, Christianity starts small. The church started small. It was the 12, and then there were the 72, and then there were several hundred people who were waiting in the upper room at Pentecost. Shortly after Pentecost, there were 3,000 people added, and then scripture says that many were added to the church every day. But the church started really small. Really, almost everything starts small. Your business likely started small. Some of the greatest men and women and works of history, they all started small. Portland Christian Center started small. Did you know that? Back in 1924, after a Pentecostal revival started in Portland, a few families were profoundly touched by the moving of God's Spirit. And they got together and they said, let's start a church. And so they got together for their first time in 1924 in the home of Papa and Mama Vetch. They were dairy farmers right here in Portland. Your own faith journey starts in a similar way. It starts small. I'm reminded of my own faith journey as I think about that point. As a young boy coming to know the Lord at an early age, and as I think about my life, I think about how God always preserved me, and he always guarded me, and he always protected me, and he always helped me. And I really credit, I would say, a lot of that to the prayers of my mom, who prayed for me every day that I would have good friends, that I would be a good friend, that I would come to know the Lord at an early age, that I would have a good job, that I would get a beautiful wife. She obviously prayed well on the beautiful wife part, let's be honest. And my mom is here today, actually. She's sitting right in the front row. Judith, thank you for being here, Mom. She's here for the grandkids, though, so don't get the wrong idea. Not like I asked her to come today and, you know, it's grandkids, they'll do it. But I want to say, parents, you need to be praying for your children. The prayers that you pray, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, and aspiring parents, you couples who are going to have kids, the prayers you pray for your kids are profound, they are life-changing, they are destiny-altering. God is listening. And if you will pray for your kids, you will help them more than anything else that you can do for them, more than any college you can send them to, more than any program you can put them in, more than any ouch that you can save them from. If you will pray for your kids, God will help them. And that's a promise in Scripture. And I'm just telling you from my own life, that's what I observe. You know, when I was 5 years old, I came home from Sunday school in a church like this. And I remember going to bed that night up in my bunk bed. And I got the top bunk because I was the oldest. Bam. And my dad came in to tuck me in like he does every night. And I said, Dad, I learned about Jesus today. And I want to know, I want to know more about him. I want to have a relationship with him. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with you and Mom. I like that idea that my kid's pastor taught me about heaven. And so my dad prayed for me, and right there, I remember accepting the Lord. And I just want to, on that note too, I want to take a quick moment. I want to brag on Pastor Heather and the kids' church that's here. Moms and dads, get your kids into kids' church at whatever cost. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes people kind of walk away from church, and then when they have kids, they come back because they're like, I want my kids to be in a good place with a social structure. I want them to learn some good lessons. They're getting way more than just good lessons here. They're getting the spiritual foundations to live a life that honors God. And that will go well with them for their whole lives. Our kids program here is excellent and only getting better. And so put your kids in and bring your friends and have them bring their kids here too. This is really important. It starts small, but like the kingdom, your faith will grow. And I want to say, as a little bit of a side note, as you're talking about your story to people, you don't need a fantastical conversion story to be an effective Christian. Now, I'm not downplaying that because some of you, God has brought you through some stuff, right? As I say that, you go, oh yeah, if you only knew what God has brought me through. You know what? You should be sharing that with people. You should be telling people, your friends, your coworkers, everyone, hey, this is what God brought me through. It was bad. I was lost. I was hopeless, but God saved me. A radical testimony is an exciting, amazing testimony. But you also could be like me, and you were born in the pew. Like, I know some of you, if I were to look underneath these pews, I'll bet I would find gum from some of you in here from like 1964. You know? I know. This place wasn't built in 64, so I know. That was a test. but I know that there's probably some remnants in this room of some people that have been here a long time. Some of you, we say born on the pew, and some of you have been here a long time. This church has been around for 95 years, and there are some of you that have been here, you know, or your families have for all that time. Your testimony of the person who came to know the Lord at an early age, that God has saved and preserved and used through your whole life, is also a very powerful testimony. And so you need to share that as well with people. Here's how God has helped me. What's your story? What's your testimony? From where has God brought you? Maybe you're waiting for your story to develop today. And if that's the case, I just want to say you came on the right day. You came to church on the right day. Today, your new life with Christ could or maybe already has begun. Well, growth starts small, but it's not meant to stay small. You know, God has a growth plan for you, a journey of growth, if you will. You know, when Christianity started, it wasn't called Christianity. Does anybody know what Christianity was called in the beginning? The Way. That's right. A couple of you guys know. That's a cool name, right? I think I'm like, the Way, we should name something that, you know, and everything comes back around. Like in the movies, the villains always get the cool names, you know, like in Marvel movies, they're like, Hail Hydra, you know, when they shake each other's hand. We should like shake each other's hand and be like, welcome to the Way. No, don't do that. People will be like, you're creepy, I'm out of here. The Way, though, that's kind of a cool name. Why was it the Way? Well, it was kind of because it was the pathway. It was like a journey that you were on, because discipleship with Christ is a journey. On your journey along the way, God has intended for you to grow. The kingdom is meant to grow. You are meant to personally grow. The church is meant to grow. And That's the thrust behind our theme this year, a year of growth, that we would grow. It's the heart of God and the prayer of this church that you would grow as a Christ follower, that young children would come to know the Lord at an early age and grow to be disciples, that junior high and high school students, you guys would make this faith your own. It's not just your parents' faith, that you would have a radical life change, that God would get a hold of you, and that you would say, yeah, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Adults, that you'd grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you'd lead your families and your friends and your coworkers all to Jesus. Seasoned and experienced believers, it's God's will that you would pass on the legacy of Christ-like living to those who are coming up behind you. Portland Christian Center, it's a year of growth. It's time to grow. Say it with me. It's time to grow. It is also the heart of God and the prayer of the leadership of this church that the church would grow, that we would grow as a church in effectiveness and missions potential and in action, that we'd grow numerically, that we would grow in influence, that we would grow in making disciples and in making leaders. You know, in Zechariah 4:10, it says something interesting about small beginnings. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. No one's more excited or rejoices more when you want to grow and start growing than God. And wherever you're at right now, it's not a comparative thing. It's not that, oh, well, you know, this guy is more than me or this person's less than me. Wherever you're at, that's the place to start growing. Don't despise small beginnings. Wherever you're at right now, it's time to grow. So we start small, but point number two is this. The kingdom grows large. Second big idea is that the kingdom grows large. The kingdom starts small, but was never intended to stay small. Your growth as a Christ follower starts small, but it's not meant to stay small. God's intention is that it grows large. Look at Mark 4:27. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Interesting point here. The farmer doesn't know how it grows. It says it grows. He does not know how. What's the point? The point is, he doesn't have to know how. He's just excited about it growing. He does his due diligence. He waters and he plows and he harvests. And then he's excited about the harvest. And I just want to say, you don't have to know everything about God before you can grow as a follower of God. You don't have to know everything about the universe. You don't have to know everything about the world. You don't have to know everything about the Bible, about Christianity, about all the deepest meanings of life. You just need to say, God, I want to grow. I want to grow closer to you. That's kind of one of the points of that little insert in scripture there. Yet, when it is sown, now we're on Mark 4:32, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches. So now we're back on the mustard seed. Now it's a mustard plant. It's grown up. It's got huge branches. So it didn't stay small. Just like a plant, the kingdom is designed to grow. It starts as a seed, and then it grows larger and larger. I kind of think that if Jesus was teaching here in the Northwest instead of in the Holy Land, instead of using a mustard seed, he probably would have used a giant sequoia tree. That'd be my guess, because that would give you one of the most stark contrasts between something that starts small and something that gets big. Who here has been to a giant sequoia park and seen a giant sequoia tree? A few of you? Okay, yeah, right on. We have some big trees around here, but in California, we have the biggest trees in the world, giant sequoias. We've been to the park a few times as a family. That one there is a tree tipped over. That's just the roots of the tree where the boys are standing. The one in the middle is kind of the full shot of the tree, and that tree is about 250 feet tall, that one there. And then, of course, Sarah and I are standing by one, and you can't even see the whole tree in the picture. It's so big. The life cycle of a sequoia is interesting. You know, the seed comes from a cone. You'd think for such a big tree, it would also have a big cone, but its pine cone is only the size of an egg. It's pretty small. And the seed in the pine cone is the size of a flake of oatmeal. So half the size of your pinky fingernail, basically, depending on how big your pinky is, you know? Some of you, like me, have hot dog fingers, so maybe it's like a third of the... At about 6 months after the seed germinates, a sequoia will be about an inch or two tall. That's it. At about 250 years, a sequoia will be considered young, a sapling. For those of you in here today who consider yourselves to be a little older, you are but a sapling, my friends. 250 years, and at 700 years, it can be at its full height potential. It can live to be about 3,000 years old. There are giant sequoias that were 1,000 years old when Jesus Christ walked the earth. The tallest is 316 feet, the widest is 31.4 feet, and the heaviest weighs 642 tons, or about 107 elephants, if that's your standard for big thing measurement, like I know it is for me. How many elephants is that? Growth, though, is really an easy thought for us to grasp. We get this. We start small, we get big, because we all do it ourselves. I think of my boys, when I come home, they run, they tackle me, they grab me, and we wrestle, and then they say, "Dad, someday I'll be as tall as you. I'll be as big as you." You know, the indication is, then I'll be able to take you, right? Like, that's what they're after. And I say, "I hope you are bigger than me, son." And then I pound them really good, you know? Teach them who's boss. Just so they know that I'm all-time champ. Because by the time they're like 16, I'm just going to retire. I'm going to be like, no more wrestling. Dad's always the winner. Because I've seen dads get hurt. How many dads in here have gotten hurt as their kid got bigger? Yeah, they're like, yep, that happened to me. Oh, my aching side. This is the kind of growth we're talking about. The gospel's designed to grow. It's designed to first grow in you. It starts like a small seed planted in your heart, but it becomes an ever-increasing reality in your life. In the DNA of the seed is the design of the plant, and in the DNA of the gospel is the design of the Christian. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." Through God's word, a seed is planted in your heart, and it's designed to grow. Likewise, we're designed to grow as believers in Jesus Christ, becoming more and more like him through our lives. You know, you and I are supposed to grow on a regular basis. It's not a one-time thing. It's not like I went to Disneyland, and it was fantastic, and now I always remember that euphorically because that was a great time for me. Christianity is not like that, and I hope you're not making it like that here on a Sunday morning. Sunday was great. I look forward to next Sunday. We're supposed to grow continually in the Lord. Stagnation and flatline stasis is not God's design for us. Ephesians 1:16, Paul is praying a prayer. He says, "I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God." God wants us to grow in our knowledge of him, in our love for him, in our love for others, and how we serve each other. What do kingdom-minded people do? They grow. Now, in addition to the believer, as the believer grows, so does Christ's church grow. You know, Portland Christian Center is supposed to grow, right? I want you to know that if you're unsure today. Like, are we just supposed, is the sanctuary here so we fill it and then like we're done? No, the church is supposed to grow. Now, I don't have a number in mind. I'm not making a comparative statement. I'm not saying we have to be a mega church. I'm not saying there's a metric that we have to hit. But look, if it's God's plan that we would become something bigger and better, then why would we shy away from that? If it's God's plan that the kingdom grows, should we not be excited about the church growing? God has been and is doing great things around here. And when we say things like the best is yet to come, know that we're making a statement of faith that God has bigger and better for us in the future. Do you believe that with me this morning? That the best is yet to come? Yes. Amen. The best is yet to come. That's how God designed the kingdom. Now, some would have you believe that Christianity and the church are not growing. I mean, if you listen to maybe the news or a Pew poll or wherever you're getting information, some would have you believe that, you know, the church is kind of breathing its last breath. And I just want to tell you, not so. And let me show you something. 100 AD, there were 181 million people on the earth. There were 500,000 born-again Christians. There's a ratio of 360 to 1. 1000 AD, 270 million people. 1 million born-again Christians, ratio of 269 to 1. 1500 AD, 425 million people on earth. 5 million born-again Christians, ratio of 84 to 1. 1900, 1.6 billion people. 40 million born-again Christians, ratio of 40 to 1. 1950, 2.5 billion people on earth. 80 million born-again Christians, ratio of 30 to 1. 1980, 4.5 billion people, 275 million born-again Christians, ratio of 15 to 1. 1990, 5.2 billion people, 500 million born-again Christians, ratio of 9 to 1. And the last time we did a big census was 2010. 6.9 billion people on earth, 800 million born-again Christians, ratio of 8.5 to 1. Globally, the church is growing by roughly 80,000 people per day. 80,000 a day. That ought to get you super excited. That ought to make you squirm in your seat a little bit and just say, praise God, 80,000 people a day. Amazing. 510 new churches on average are formed every day. Did you know that in Africa, Christianity will have grown from 143 million people in 1970, 38% of the country's population at the time, to 630 million by 2020. Almost half of the continent will be a born-again Christian by 2020. That's amazing. You know, I mean, and we put a lot of effort and resource over in Africa through the Petrus Project as well, so we get to be a part of that, church. That's amazing. In Asia, Christianity is growing more than twice as fast as the general population, mostly through conversions instead of through births. That means through conversions, it is expanding rapidly. Asia has seen the number of Christians double from 1970 to 2010. And in 2015, missionaries to the Islamic world said that Muslims have converted to Christianity, more Muslims in the last 14 years since 9/11, than during the entire 14 centuries of Islamic history before. So if you think that this thing is going downhill fast, you are wrong. The kingdom starts small, but the kingdom is growing. God is at work. It's like what C.S. Lewis said in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan's on the move. God is on the move, church. God is on the move, and that should excite us, and it should make us want to grow. It should get us jumping. This church is growing. It's in the DNA of the gospel. It will grow in you. It will grow in this community. It will grow in the world. God's really designed it that way. And this church, the Church of Jesus Christ and Portland Christian Center, it will continue to grow. The church will keep moving forward, I would add this caveat, as long as we are forward-looking at his kingdom. You know, this is an interesting point. There's a lot to celebrate here at Portland Christian Center. God has done so much in the past. It's been 95 years of awesome. Maybe when we get to the 100-year celebration, we should call it that. Portland Christian Center, 100 years of awesome. That would be great. I know some of you are like, that's so dumb, but roll with me on this. There have been tens of thousands of people saved here over 95 years. Multitudes of disciples made and are now living life and leading their families and leading others to Jesus. Many, many ministers who have been raised up at this church and are now doing ministry all around the world. Hundreds of thousands of people saved, baptized, and discipled through the Petrus Network every single year. That's all God's amazing work. And you know, the mistake that a lot of people make is that we get so enamored with what God has done in the past that we can't look forward to what God is going to do. And what God did in the past is so wonderful and so awesome that you can almost not let go of it. You can see the way that God worked in a season in the past, and then you look forward and you want God to work in that way in the next season and every future season. And I have news for you, that is not the way that God works. God is constantly doing new things all the time. And we get, like, you know, our feathers ruffled when we do something new in church sometimes. But God is a God of new things all the time. His mercies are new every morning. None of us are upset about that. Praise God. God is doing new things all the time, constantly doing new things. And the message hasn't and will not change. But I want you to know God is as up to date and in touch with what you need this morning as ever before. Don't worry about a church being relevant. God is always relevant. And if we will be forward-looking, this place will reflect God's heart and character all the time. God will reach people. Why has it not changed? Well, because the human condition hasn't changed. We still need the gospel, and God is going to spread the gospel, and he's going to do it through you and me. He's going to reach people through Anita. He's going to reach people through Everett. He's going to reach people through Jeff. He's going to reach people through Genevieve. He's going to reach people through Pastor Tom and Aaron. He's going to reach people through this church right here, through the people of Portland Christian Center. Well, third big idea, the kingdom blesses people. So it starts small, it grows big, and the kingdom blesses people. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Mark 4:29. What's the harvest here? It's the bounty. It's the joy of the farmer getting to reap the benefits of all the hard work. It's this church and her people being joyful as God brings people to himself through the ministry of this church. We should be like the farmer, like so happy for the harvest when God is bringing people to know him. Mark 4:32, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Back to the mustard seed is now grown into a full-on tree, and it's got big branches, and it's shading things underneath it, and birds are making their nests in it. The kingdom is designed to bless. The gospel seed, when planted in your heart, will grow and will bless your life. And here's the kicker, it will also bless the lives of everyone around you. We're made better as believers. I'm not saying we're better than anyone else. We are made better. God makes us better when we're believers by the gospel. Let me put it to you this way. I'm a better man, a better husband, a better worker, a better friend, a better boss, all those things. I'm better to the people around me with the gospel, and you are too. When you love God, it results in blessing for you and the people around you, just like the mustard tree. As the church loves God and grows, it will continue to be a blessing to the over 80 missionaries we support every single month with your Kingdom Builder dollars, to the projects that we get a chance to do, to the Petrus Network. It'll be a blessing to our neighborhoods right around us, a blessing to our city and our metro. How many of you want to be a blessing to your household? How many of you want to be a blessing to the apartments right down the street? How many want to be a blessing to the homes across the way? How many of you want to be a blessing to the Stevens Creek Crossing just up the road? Who wants to be a blessing to Portland and the city and the metro and the surrounding suburbs? Do you want to be a blessing? If you will embrace the kingdom of God, you will be a kingdom-minded person. You receive the gospel, you grow, you make that commitment to grow. You'll be a blessing to those all around you. To do this, though, we have to be committed to grow. And so we're going to go on a growth journey this year as a church. And there's really three ways that I want you to think about this, this growth journey as we embark upon it. And I'm going to ask musicians to come at this time. The first is this. If you're taking notes, write down personal growth as believers. The first and most important thing is that you would make a commitment personally to grow. I hope that you're excited to grow, that you hear scripture and you go, wow, yeah, I need to grow. I want to grow. You know, one of the greatest ways to start to grow is to start with prayer and fasting. And it's for this reason that we are, as a pastoral staff, going to call the church to a week of prayer and fasting. Because as we start off the year, both for the church and for you as an individual, we need the Lord, and we don't want to go into it without asking for God's help. And so we're going to ask you to commit. You could do this starting tomorrow. You could start it today if you want, but from now through Saturday, the end of Saturday the 12th for this week, that you would commit to a week of prayer and fasting with us. Now, we're going to do a few things to kind of help resource you on this. One is we're going to open our chapel every day from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and if you want a place to pray corporately, come together with other believers, come join us. Pastor Ray and I are going to kick off every day at 7. The only day Pastor Ray's not there is Monday because he's still out of town, but he'll be back Tuesday. And we're going to lead off and pray together corporately. We're going to have a little bit of worship going in there and some prayer needs up on the screen. And if you can't make it, that's okay. You can pray from anywhere, of course. God will hear your prayer wherever you're at. But I'd ask you to commit to times of prayer with the Lord this week. First and foremost, for yourself. God, what do you want me to do this year? How do you want me to grow? Where do I need to grow? That you would commit to pray, you'd also commit to fast. We have some fasting guides that are out in the lobby, and I'd encourage you to pick one of those up today. And they give you some really detailed scripture and information on all the different kinds of fasts in scripture and what fasting is and why that's important. But what's the point of fasting? It's sacrificing something you crave or even need and relying on God instead of that thing. And when you do that, God honors your sacrifice. When you fast, God will answer your prayers like they've never been answered before. When you fast, you'll get breakthroughs like you've never had before. Jesus said about a certain kind of demon, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. There are some things in our lives that only break free with prayer and fasting. And so why not start the year by saying, we're going to pray and we're going to fast. We're going to ask God. And you could do a total fast. You could do a partial fast. You could do a Daniel fast. You could fast something unconventional, not food. Maybe you do something else. I'll tell you what I'm going to do just for the purpose of you knowing kind of what some of your pastors are doing and so that you'll be creative in how you seek the Lord on this. I'm going to fast, total fast every day, up through lunchtime. So that's just water. And then I'm also going to fast all media because I was thinking about it and I was praying. And I realized I pick my phone up all the time. Like, if there is a bored moment in my life, that's what my phone is for. And, it could be a YouTube video, it could be social media, it could be me wanting to read the news, just because, I feel like we always have to have something to do now. You ever walk into a place and stand in line? No one's just standing in line anymore. We're all in our own little world. And I just felt like the Lord say, you rely on that to help get you through the day, and you need to rely on me more. So I'm going to fast all media for the week and some food as well throughout the week. But you pray about it. And you think about it and you plan and say, how could I pray and fast this week? What should I do to jumpstart my commitment to grow this year? A second thing is that we are going to grow as a church. So a second way to look at this is growth as a church. In the coming months, we're going to engage in some very intentional and corporate ways to grow together. And on that note, let me say on January 20th, we have a big announcement. A big announcement about growth as a church. So I don't want you to miss that day. I want you to do whatever you got to do. Duct tape your children together and throw them in the trunk and get them here. You know, whatever you got to do. Wives, nab your husbands. Husbands, nab your wives. Plan it in your calendar. Get here on the 20th, first or second service. We want to make a special announcement to you guys about ways we're going to grow. And really, we're committing the sermons through January and February to ways to grow here at the church. Pastor Ray and I want to ask you to pray for what God would have for you this year and what God would have for Portland Christian Center this year to grow as a church. Another way you can learn about that and join us in prayer is this Wednesday night. We're going to have an all-church rally right here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. If you can make it, join us. We're going to have, we'll do some like vegetable snacks out front just in case you are fasting, you know, and do like a Daniel fast so you'll still have a little snacky out there. We're going to do some worship. We're going to pray together. Pastor Ray is going to teach, and we're going to talk about the year and what God has for us. And then we're going to get a chance for some of our departments to say, hey, here's what God is doing, and here's how we are going to grow together. You can also join us every Wednesday night. We have a prayer meeting, and that'll start on the 16th, every Wednesday night in the chapel, and we just call out to God together. We have a brief teaching on prayer and some worship, and then we call out to God. The final way I really want to urge you to grow is to grow toward the kingdom, his kingdom. What I mean is we are like co-builders of the kingdom with God. And there's an urgency that as we do this, that people come to know the Lord. There's an urgency because people don't know Jesus all around us. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people around us. Actually, millions. The Portland Metro is half the state's population, 2.1 million people. There are millions of people around us that do not know the Lord. And we cannot be content to sit in a pew and not feel that urgency. We need to feel the urgency to build the kingdom. Why do we call it kingdom builders? It's not a fancy name for I want your money. It's because we give our treasure and our talent and our time to the Lord. And when we give our resource to God, it helps build the kingdom. All that money in kingdom builders, it goes to building the kingdom because there's an urgency, because people are lost and they don't know the Lord. And without that, they're not going to be in eternity with God. They're not going to experience what you as a believer experience on a regular basis, fellowship with, growth with, care from, hope from God. So there's an urgency and we need to feel that. And we also need to feel an urgency for ourselves. It could be today that you feel an urgency on your own heart to know God more. And I'm going to, just as I close, ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads today. The greatest starting point of growing is to know Jesus Christ in the first place. And I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm not talking about like, oh, I know who the president is. I'm talking about knowing the person personally, knowing Jesus Christ. You may have grown up in a religious background and you knew a lot about God, but do you know God personally? Maybe this is your first time today, or maybe your first time in a long time, or whatever your situation is, and you would say, you know what, Pastor Matt, I do feel that urgency on my heart. Maybe you said that prayer earlier when we took communion, but if you didn't, I just want to give you one more chance today because I feel the urgency that there are people here today and your relationship is not right with God. You do not know him personally, and how that starts is you say a simple prayer and you ask Jesus to forgive you of sin, acknowledge that he is God, that he died on a cross and rose from the grave. You say a simple prayer like this. And if you feel this in your heart and you want to do this right now, just do it along with me. Just say it with me. You can say a prayer like this. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, for the things I've done that have fallen short of perfection, for the ways I've hurt you and the ways I've hurt others. Will you please forgive me? I believe that you are the Son of God, that you lived a perfect life, that you died a horrible death for me, that you forgave me of sin, that you rose from the grave. Will you forgive me of sin? Will you live in my life? And will you make me a Christian, a Christ follower? And with every head bowed and eye closed, I just want to ask, as a kind of a moment of faith and so that I can pray for you, if today you said that prayer either during communion or in your heart just now, would you just quietly slip your hand up? No one's looking around. Just slip your hand up and say, yeah, I said that prayer. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. I see a hand over there. I see a hand on the back. I see some on the balcony. Is there anyone else who would say, yeah, that's me, Pastor Matt. I prayed that prayer. And putting up your hand is kind of a step of faith. It's kind of activating your faith, kind of saying, yeah, you know what? I'm willing to say that I said that prayer. Okay. For those of you that said that prayer today, whether that was a recommitment to the Lord or whether that was for your first time, you saying, I want to know the Lord. We want to help you on a growth journey. And so you could talk to one of our pastors after, any one of our first impressions team that's out greeting people. We would like to know because we want to help you. We'll give you a Bible if you need one. And we'll help get you plugged in to the life of the church here so that you would be around people that are growing and loving Jesus with you. I'd like to pray for you today as a church before we would go. So why don't everyone stand with me this morning as we finish? Let's stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank you for every person here. I thank you for each person that has come, and I pray for your blessing over their lives. I pray you bless them today in all that they do, that you bless the lunch they're about to go eat, and that you bless their time with their family and their friends. And that, Lord, you put in our hearts as a church a corporate and an individual excitement, a passion to grow, that we would be enthusiastic about our growth, that it wouldn't just be a church thing. It's a God thing. It's you in our hearts prompting us to grow closer to you. Lord, I pray this would be a year of growth for me personally. I would grow in leaps and bounds in my knowledge of you and my love for you and my closeness to you. Would you make that all of our prayer, that we would grow together? We would be closer to you. And as a result, we would be closer Christ followers. And this would be a better church, a place where more people are coming to know you, a place where more are being sent into the mission field, a place where more dollars are given to do more for your kingdom. All around, Lord, let us be better because we grow, because we're closer to you. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we need you. And I pray these things in your name. And everyone would say, amen. Amen. Well, we love you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you at the rally on Wednesday. God bless.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.